Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to CeroBoost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Lu Ngo, coming to your ears from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's learn together. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. We're here to talk about happiness. And today, it's a very special day. It's a bittersweet day because I have... Don't make that face, please.
Happy face.
I have my co-host at LMSL and a good friend and feel like a really cute sister in the studio with me, Tia Hammer. Thank you for being here. It's
thank
your
you so
last
much.
Day at LMSL. Can you believe it?
I know. I'm so sad. I'm just processing it. But yeah. I'm very sad, but very grateful.
Yeah.
It's been a great time.
Awesome. I mean, I'm excited about your new chapter.
Yeah.
And I think we need to provide context to listeners because this doesn't make any sense at all until now. It makes sense to me, but and you, but not to others.
Yeah.
So who are you, Tia Hammer?
Hi, guys. I am the host of Bouncing Back and Work in Progress, which is the two other shows that we have at LMSL out of the 10. And yeah, I've been hosting those for... It's been over a year. And it's been really great and I've loved it so much and they're really good shows. So don't just stop listening because I'm not there anymore. They're still amazing shows. But I've loved it and we just have the most amazing guests and I've learned the most incredible things and everyone's been really amazing, all my experts, and I've had the hosts on as well as guests. So go check out those episodes. And yeah, it's really great. And I've loved it so much, but I am departing LMSL to take up a new sort of career path. We're closing the book on my journalism career as of currently. Very high chance it will be reopened. but I am going into law or back into law. That's where I sort of started. And now I'm going back in. I'm at a media entertainment law firm, which is the only area of media law that I'm actually interested in. So huzzah. The only area of law is media law.
Good thing you caught yourself there.
Yeah, I actually said that on like my first day, but I don't know if I came out properly because I was like, this is the only area of law that I'm interested in. So if this doesn't work out, I'm going back to journalism. And they were like, okay, nice to know. And I was like, oh, that probably shouldn't have said that, but that's okay. I'm putting my cards on the table. That's how it is. But
it's honesty, you know?
Exactly.
It's very important. I think that's. Also, for those that don't know, you do a double degree, which is
right.
Why
yeah, that makes
you've
more
been
sense.
Mentioning.
So yeah, I do a double degree. I got a Bachelor of Arts in Law. I major in Journalism and Film. And yeah, and then Laura's just that other massive person that follows me around and I don't like him, but he's there. So we're going to utilize him.
Yeah. You know, you're a very interesting character. You're just like, I don't want to go into law, but I am.
But I am. Yeah.
But I do. And I am.
Yeah.
And
don't cave to your parents, kids. That's all I have to say.
And I do a double degree. Yeah. And I'm tired, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But no, you're doing well. Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad you're making the step because it's important to discover yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Especially for your happiness.
Yeah,
which
yes.
is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah,
we're
going to
talk
about today. Don't okay. have. Yep.
Yeah, going to draw us back to the topic. Yeah, or we could go on all day. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you, you know exactly what I'm
going
to ask
what's
you.
Going on.
I'm going to ask you for some recommendations. Yeah. I mean, we did this about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For doing well.
Yeah.
But I feel like this might have changed after a few weeks. So.
Well, yeah, I'm going to try and bring new ones to the table.
Yeah, we'll find out.
if anyone listens to both shows, you get new recommendations. And for the people who don't, go listen to the other show because I give good recommendations. I've refined them a little bit this time because I'm more prepared, I think.
Yeah. The last time was good. This time, last time was spontaneous. This time it's going to be more structured.
Yeah.
It'll flow better, I think. So what's the book you would recommend?
The book I would recommend. So at the moment, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but at the moment I'm reading Peter Pan.
Lovely.
Which is in like, you know, it's a kid's book, right? Mm-hmm. But the writing style is actually like quite advanced.
Yeah.
I might sound like an idiot right now.
No, no,
but
I
just
agree.
Trust me.
I agree.
I'm a law student. I'm credible. But like the writing style is actually quite advanced.
Yeah.
And the language that she uses is like, obviously it's old school. So, you know, you might have to look up some words, but it's just such a beautiful book. Like it's genuinely so gorgeous. My friend got me a copy when she was at the V&A in London. Yeah. And I hadn't picked it up because I was like, it's a kid's book, but it's so pretty.
Mm.
And then I was looking for something like fictional because I was sick of reading my nonfiction books because I can't read nonfiction at nighttime.
Yeah.
And so I started reading Peter Pan and I've nearly finished because it's genuinely such a gorgeous book. Like the writing style is to die for. So if you haven't read it, you're never too old to read it because it's definitely doesn't come across as a kid's book and it's really gorgeous.
Yeah. So. I don't think it's just for kids. That's
no,
the thing.
Like, definitely not.
A lot of
and
people
it's really different
it.
From the movie.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. It's very different from the movie. Disney took a lot of creative liberty there. So if you're worried like, oh, it's a kid's, it's actually not. Like it's very much like sort of like Lord of the Rings kind of vibes.
Yeah.
It's great.
Agreed. I haven't read it in a while, so I have to read it again. But
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. I love these books as well. So the recent ones I've been reading is Alice in Wonderland.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. You know, like you would think it's a kid's book and it's like really simple language. No.
No, it's not. It's really not. Just
really
because of the time that it was written in.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, the language is gorgeous. I
love
that
book. Yeah, and it has so many layers of meanings.
Yeah.
Same as Peter Pan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So great.
Yeah,
hello.
So good. Okay. What about a movie to the film student?
Ooh, okay, movie recommendation. Oh, damn. I said I was going to think about this beforehand and then I was like, I didn't. Okay, movie recommendation. Something that I would recommend. The Hangover. That's what I'm going to say.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It is like one of my favorite movie franchises. And it is just like if you're looking for something funny, I always feel like my recommendation has to be like really deep and meaningful.
Mm.
And I'm always trying to find like a movie that's going to like move people or like something really good. And I'm like, oh, what would be really great? But this time I was like, you know what? If you want something funny, which is what I'm craving a lot these days because life is insane. It's chaotic. And like you just need a laugh. It's very
totally.
Crucial. Go
100%.
Listen to my episode about humor with Dina. but... Yeah, I love The Hangover. It's great. Bradley Cooper is so good. And the whole movie is just genius. It's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah,
I highly recommend. Don't watch it if you're underage, of course.
I haven't watched that in a while as well, but yeah.
It's so funny. I binge them every time I'm sick.
Really?
And just every time because I'm just like, these are going to put me in a good mood. So I love The Hangover. It's so funny.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. So you host two podcasts.
I do.
What is a podcast that you would recommend to our listeners?
A podcast I would recommend, I think I'm going to say the same podcast from last time. Oh, no. Last time I said Pretty Big Deal by Ashley Graham.
Yeah.
That's still a great podcast. Definitely go listen to it. I love her. I love her guests. She's amazing. For people who don't know who Ashley Graham is, she's a plus size model from the States. She's stunning and such a genius. But the other podcast that I'd recommend... Did I say this? I can't remember. Is the Inspired Unemployed? Did
you,
I say
you
this
did,
last
you
time?
Did, you
yeah,
did.
I did.
You're a very consistent person. That's
I
what
am.
I like about
I
you.
I like don't listen to a lot of other podcasts. It takes me a lot to get into a podcast. And I really have to love it for it to be something that I listen to on like a very regular basis.
Yeah.
I also like It's a Lot by Abby Chatfield, but her content is very strong. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's very inappropriate.
Oh, okay.
But she's funny. It's like listening to my girlfriends like chat about weird and interesting dates and that kind of stuff. So okay. That's a fun show, okay. Like if you're a chick and you're looking for something like that. But I love the Inspired Unemployed. Again, they're funny. Comedic relief. That's mm-hmm. That's my big thing at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just comedic relief. Mm-hmm. They're such great guys.
They much just, needed right yep, now.
They just put out an episode where they went to the most haunted house in Australia, the Monte Cristo Estate,
okay,
which is in New South Wales.
Okay.
It's the and? Funniest episode. They just like were not holding it together. Like, it's the greatest. I was like, this is so funny. Like, yeah. Oh, it was amazing. So anyway, love that. Highly recommend.
Okay. Perfect. I love that. Mm. Now I need to get back into that podcast. It's been a while.
It's so great.
That haunted house episode sounds good.
Yeah.
Who's your famous role model? Or, if not famous, your personal role model?
Ooh, that's tough, honestly. Famous role model. I think last time I said Jane Fonda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still and always will be Jane Fonda. She is like such an important person to me. But I think, yeah, my mom is just like the most important person in my life, and she's just so amazing and just so hilarious. And I think she's been like such a crazy role model for me, but also my best friend Ava, shout out to you, babe. I love you so much. She just has the most insane life, and we've been best friends for ages, and she's just genuinely, she holds it together like so well. She's a fashion designer and she's just so creative. And I love that part of her because she's just like, doesn't care that like people think a lot of the time what she does in the creative industry is really pointless, and she'll go out with guys and then it's like, oh, you work in fashion, like what do you like look at shoes all day? She's like, no, my job is actually important and it actually means something and I'm actually making a difference. And I think a lot of people don't see that because fashion is always perceived as this like inferior feminine area. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, no, she's like, this is legit, this is hard, like I'd love to see you try and make a pair of shoes. Like, tell me how that goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's a boss. And no matter what happens, she's just so invincible and insane. And I love her. She's crazy. And that's why she's my best friend.
I love that.
And my role model. Aww, yeah. She's not famous, but she will be.
Yeah. This is a different one from last time. Because I think last time you mentioned both Jane Fonda and your mom.
Yeah.
But Ava is new
Ava.
To the story.
Yeah.
And today we're talking about friendships. So
exactly.
That's perfect.
That's why I was like, am I at it?
Yeah. Yeah. We will revisit that in a little bit. But last one on this topic is, what's the course you've completed that you would like to share with us?
Oh, a course I have completed. I did an environmental waste course in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. At SJT, because my university has a partnership with them. So obviously it was a little easy for me to go over there and do that. But it was really fascinating just like learning about, we were looking at mainly food waste because that is like the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. Because people love food and people make a lot of food over there. And yeah, it was just really interesting. So I completed that in 2019. So it was a while ago.
2019.
Trying to remember, like pre-COVID just doesn't exist.
Wow. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, it was really awesome and I loved it because I'm not really, like I'm an environmentally friendly person, sustainable all the way, you know, but it's not something that I like actively seek out to learn about. So this was really interesting for me to learn about how it impacts, you know, not only like Shanghai and China in general, but also different other parts of the world and Australia, you know, what we can do here to make a difference. That was really cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think there's a course in Australia for sustainability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also a free course.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I need to do that.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But like for me, it was awesome because we did it in Shanghai. It was the first time I had left Australia besides New Zealand, which doesn't count.
Oh.
It was the first time, my first time overseas.
Wow.
So it was cool. So that course means a lot to me.
Wow.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's a really good one. I love it. Mm. Now let's talk about happiness and friendships.
Yay. So exciting.
We warmed up.
Yes.
Now, I've been itching to talk about this. I mean, I ask everyone this, and mind you, 100 people have 100 different definitions.
Yeah.
My guest and other people included. What does happiness mean to you? Ooh. Big question.
That is a big question because when I was younger, I had like no real concept of happiness. I was also like a very like jaded child. So I was just like, happiness doesn't exist. It was crazy. I was like that weird kid who was just like, you know, like everyone went through their emo phase. My emo phase went for a little bit longer than everyone else's. But yeah, I never really had a concept of happiness because I was like, you do things like just for other benefits outside of happiness. Like I never thought that happiness was like a crucial thing. Like when people like got married for love and stuff and I was like, why would you do that? He's poor. Like, like I was always just like,
okay,
marry rich, get the money. Like, yeah. Like that was my existence was just like, happiness and love isn't real. Let's do this. But now, as I've gotten older and I'm like, that's probably not a great way to live life. Happiness to me just means having a good feeling despite like what is going on and being able to separate your negative feelings from your positive feelings. And I think that is a really convoluted definition. But I think, yeah, for me, happiness is very hard to define, and I'd be interested to like hear what you think it is after like having so many experts define it for you, because I have
my own show right now.
Well, because I don't really think I can define it, because for me it is a feeling.
Yeah.
Determined by a lot of different variables. Mm-hmm. But for me it is just a feeling of like contentment and love for my current state of life.
Yeah.
That is like my thoughts on it. Like today I'm really happy because the weather is gorgeous outside. I had like a relatively productive day and I was just I woke up feeling good. And I was like, this is good. I'm happy today. Mm. And it's nice. And I can't explain why besides the really nice sunshine outside. But like, I can't tell you why. I think it's also because I feel like my makeup looked good today. There's like lots of different things. It's my contentment and love for my current state of life. There we go.
Okay.
That's cute. My definition.
Well, I mean, disclaimer, and I forgot to say this at the beginning, but we're not experts.
Oh, yeah. That's not obvious, sorry. Yeah.
We're both not experts in this area or friendships.
Really, really but not.
Yeah, I think you have a lot of interesting things to say about happiness and friendships because what I've noticed is you talk about your friends quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we've had many conversations my where you're like, life. Oh, like I love my friends.
I love
and
them.
Me too. So I think we're going to have a good conversation.
Yay.
But coming back to happiness, I mean, this is what I tell everyone on the team.
What does
at
it
LMSL.
Mean for you?
I'm like, you know, after doing so many podcast episodes, I don't know what it is.
There we go.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be my definition.
Yeah.
At the moment, it could be, you know, like having a sense of fulfillment in both work and life.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, like I'm doing well at my job and I feel like I'm helping my team. At the same time, I want to feel like I'm taking care of myself and I have a good relationship with people around me.
Yeah.
So that's the current definition, but it's not going to be forever. I know that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
At one point it might change. So whenever I talk to the experts, they share a lot of different definitions and they throw in, you know, research or, you know, like the really scientific backed.
Yeah.
You know, like aspect of it. And I'm just like.
Yeah. The expert-y stuff.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, like I understand and I agree with definitely like most of it, but I feel like for me, if I were to define it, it's very personal.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's not feeling. It's not gonna be scientific at all.
Yeah, no, definitely. If it was scientific, then we would just be able to create it easily and then people wouldn't be.
Yeah, you know, happiness would be my cats. Like that would be my happiness.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I feel like my chickens are like an embodiment of like they're soft and fluffy and a little bit cuckoo, but they're really cute and they mean well and they're just like nice. My chickens are always happy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not true. They can be really, they can be witty, but I feel like they're embodiment of that fluffy
there you
and
go.
Squishy.
So it means different things to different people.
Exactly.
Right.
Totally.
Okay. So based on your personal definition, when you observe other people, what do you think other people get wrong when it comes to happiness?
I think they get wrong what I previously thought was happiness, which is success. And as in like, when I say success, I mean the not like your personal view of success, but what society deems as success, what like people for decades and stuff have defined as success, as having house, car, family, good marriage, and lots of money and fame on top of that, if you can get it. I feel like a lot of people think that success is happiness and that that's going to bring you happiness. And it's like, probably no. There are happy people who have been deemed successful by society.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that the two are not like, they're not super connected. And there are things that you can get when you're in those positions to get you, you know, like to be able to help you like manifest happiness and create a happy sense of being. Yes, because when people are like, money doesn't buy happiness, that is true, but money does get you things that can help you be happy.
That's true.
Yeah, like, you know, people are happy when they have access to things that can make their life better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of people think that success and having money is the same as happiness. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, that is not that. No.
You previously thought so.
I previously was a massive believer of like, why would you do anything if it didn't give you success? That was my entire baseline for all my decisions.
Yeah. Okay.
And now I'm like, that's not what I'm basing my decision off. Like, my decision is no longer based off, you know, can I be like super successful and famous? My decision is like, do I like this? Does it make me feel good?
Mm.
Does it help me and my family?
Aww.
Yeah.
You've grown so much. I'm proud of you.
I know. Look at me go.
I'm proud of you, kid.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, for context, she thinks I'm like her mom.
Lou is sometimes. Like my mom.
It's so funny. So funny when you said
my crazy wine drunk mom.
Oh.
Which is also like my real life mom. But anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not go there. Let's go back to friendship and happiness. We're going too far. Okay. Well, good to know that.
Yeah.
You're touching on something important, because if it's not money, if it's not success in terms of fame, then there are other things that matter to you more. And I know friendship would be one of them.
Mm.
And let's talk about friendship now, because obviously you look really happy when you were talking about your best friend.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just like glowing, talking about Suki. Ava. And yeah, you got to show her this.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I
yeah.
will.
Yeah. You got to show her this.
To make her happy.
Yeah, to make her happy.
Yeah.
But what does friendships do for your happiness? Because you mentioned earlier you have a different definition of happiness now compared to before.
Mm.
And friendships play a big factor in that. But how big of a factor? And, you know, like, how do you see that manifesting in your daily lives, or like in how you're observing your mood, let's say?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my friends are a huge part of my life, especially since like I don't have family here in Melbourne. And I love my family, but 90% of the time, they don't bring me joy and happiness. Let's be real. I love them, but
yeah, it's different.
Yeah, my brother is cool, but my friends mean a lot to me, because I have always been quite disconnected from my family. So my friends are, you know, like my non-blood family. They're my unrelated family. And I think there is definitely like a huge correlation, and I love hanging out with my friends because it does bring me happiness, because I know that like when I hang out with someone, and especially as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, I hang out with this person because I want to. And like, that makes me happy, because I'm like, I'm doing what I want to do and it makes me feel good. And I only am going to hang out with you or be friends with you if I feel good when I'm around you. And like, you know, that's different from when you're a teenager and you're trying to do, you know, weird stuff and all that kind of thing. But now that I'm older, I'm like, my friends are a massive part of my happiness, because I get to choose them. And I am at university, and so there's a plethora of people that I can choose from. And I love that I'm able to be friends with people who have the same energy as me, or we believe in the same things, or we like the same things. And even the friends who we don't, you know, believe in the same things or like the same things, if we've got very similar personality types, or, you know, like we have similar humor and that kind of thing, it's fun. And being able to have that, like I get energy from my friends when they're in a good mood, it puts me in a good mood. When they're trying to help me get into a good mood. And it just makes me happy, because just to see them be happy makes me happy.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And when they're sad, I am sad, because I'm like, you're sad, I'm sad. But it's just that connectedness. Mm-hmm. I think I love that. I think that's a massive part of like my love language, and it's a massive part of my happiness, is just having that connection with someone. And like knowing that like I chose to have this connection and it works and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. That's really cool. Because you know what? Today in the morning, one of my best friends sent me this article which said we used to think that, you know, physical exercise and, you know, like mental health and all that sort of stuff would help us to live longer if we manage them well. Actually, meaningful connections do that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of people immediately go to like, you know, family, whether it be your blood family or your, let's just say partners. But I think we're forgetting a very big aspect of life, which is friendships.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you've been talking about. They make you so happy that you couldn't stop talking about them.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. That's just really good, because I think a lot of people struggle when it comes to friendship.
Oh yeah. It's hard. Yeah. It's like, it's not without its challenges. That's for sure. Like having friends for me is always being like quite a bit of a mission. But I think that's why when I do have good friends, it does bring me such big happiness, because like I have to work really hard to cultivate them.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, moved heaps and just like trying to stabilize friendships and all that kind of stuff when you're moving so consistently.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm like in my 20s and I'm like more defined in terms of where I am for certain periods of time, I put a lot of effort in and I'm like, these are my friends. And I love them.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, I mean, we're talking about healthy friendships today, right?
Yeah.
And the research obviously shows that there needs to be that balance between give and take for friendships to be healthy, which is the basis of our conversation. And obviously you said that you need to cultivate the friendship. And I'm pretty sure that your friends would need to put in the effort to cultivate the friendship as well for you to love them this much, right?
Yeah.
So the golden question is, when can it become unbalanced? You know, the giving and taking. Because, you know, it's a struggle sometimes. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I struggle because sometimes I'm like, am I giving too much? And then other times I'm like, am I taking too much?
Yep. Totally.
You know, so when can it become unbalanced? How do you manage it? Because you seem very happy with your friends.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you probably have figured it out to a certain extent.
Yeah. Look, it is a really difficult balance. And I think I have, like, you know, some friendships do end because it's not working out. And that's just like a general part of life. And it's a big learning curve. And I think those things need to happen because you learn more about yourself and boundaries and that giving and take situation and what you want. Just like how you would if you were looking for a romantic partner, it's the same as when you have a friendship. And I think there does have to be a clear balance, and you can communicate that to your friend. And I think that's great. I think as I've gotten older, I feel like I've said that so many times, but I make a point of directly asking my friend, like, okay, when you are going through a tough time, or when you're in pain, or when you're grieving something, what is the most helpful thing for me to do in that situation? Because some people love tough love. Some people love it when they're like, come on, get out of the house. We're going here. This is what we're doing. And like, I love that. Like, I'm a tough love person. I give tough love. I like tough love. whereas some of my friends don't like that. And they're like, no, I need you to be like nice and soft and like leave me alone and just take it easy and just be like nice and supporting. And so it's good to learn about that. And I think that is a part of the giving thing. And it's also good for them to learn about you. So it's also part of that taking situation, all that kind of thing. But in a lot of friendships, I found myself, as like when I was younger, just being like the therapist, and that is really difficult. And I have had maybe one like really big friendship did end over it, because I was like, you're const, like, this is just lots and lots of me giving and you taking it, and not the other way around. Like, I need you as well. I am not a therapist. And that friendship ended because she was like, I'm not really in a place to be able to do that. And yeah. I'm like, okay, well, if you ever do, let me know. But for now, for myself, I have to let this friendship go.
Yeah.
And you do have – that. There is a big balance, and you have to ask yourself, are you giving and taking in equal amounts? And there are those people and those friends who are like much more giving, and there are those friends who are like much more taking. And if you look at a friendship group, you've always got like those different styles of people.
Yeah.
But it's just figuring out if you can work like that together.
Mm.
I think that's a massive part of it.
Yeah.
And what you need personally out of a friendship.
Yeah. So with that friendship that ended, how did you know that you were giving too much? Like, you were the only one giving. What were the signs that told you that this is not working?
Yeah. I think it wasn't always like, you know, a friendship doesn't start bad. Like, it progresses.
Yeah.
And I think it was good, but I think she was just going through, she was going through a lot and I was going through a lot, and we were both going through a lot at that point in time, because this was during COVID. This was the start of COVID.
Okay.
And we were both going through a lot, but she would just like talk to me all about this stuff, and then be like, okay, I'm going. Like, it was her just like lumping all this information on me and not asking me the same, and not like expecting, like, she wasn't like, oh, well, you're going to listen to this, but I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, okay, this isn't really working. And then when we would like message or call or anything, like, I would message her and then she'd send me like a bunch of messages and then like wouldn't ask me anything or whatever it was. And I'm like trying to support her and stuff, and I'm like, but at no point, like, I knew everything that was going on in her life and she knew nothing that was going on in mine. And I thought, no. I said, this isn't really working for me, because we need to be able to know each other's lives.
Yeah.
Not just like, you know, I'm not your cameraman. Like, I'm not standing here filming your life. Like, this is a friendship. We're partners. This is supposed, like, this is a, you know, two-way.
Two-way street.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So it just came down to like communication. Like, she was talking at me and that was it. And
yeah.
I was like, I can't do this. Yeah, but I made it known.
You know what? It's quite important. Communication, actually. I mean, we're talking about giving and taking. And in this scenario, it's mainly about the fact that she didn't really listen to you.
No.
But then in other scenarios, you know, it could be because you're not aware of what's actually happening. Because, you know, you could take in many forms, or you could give in many different forms without realizing. And sometimes you get, you know, fatigued when you give too much. And sometimes you don't really know that you're the one taking too much, because you're going through something.
Yeah,
exactly. So in your scenario, obviously she knew when you had that conversation, she knew about it, and still she couldn't change it. But communication is so important, because had it worked out and she acknowledged what was happening and changed it, it could have been different.
Yeah, totally. And I've had those friendships work out where it's been like one of us has been, you know, dumping so much on the other person, and the other person's like, hey, like, you know, I love you and I, like, I'm always going to be here to support you, but like, I also need to be able to talk to you without feeling guilty about talking to you about certain stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's another massive part of it, is like, if you're in a friendship where like you feel like you're constantly giving, you shouldn't feel guilty for also like taking.
Yeah.
Like, that's a red flag for me. When I start to feel like guilty. Like, there is a time and a place, obviously. Yeah. But when I start to feel guilty about going to someone about something, that's when I'm like, ah, I'm like, we have a problem.
Mm, true.
And yeah, but there are, I've had that's heaps a good of friendships. One. Yeah,
yeah,
I've
that's
had
a good one.
Lots of friendships where I'm like, hey, like, you know, either it's me that has been giving too much and then being like, oh, as in like me taking too much and then being like, hey, like, you know, is there something I could talk to you about? Me being like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I've just been so in my own head and I just like, I'm so sorry. Or it's been the other way around, like me on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've had heaps of like really great, really mm-hmm. good friendships where like that has worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, we recognize that in each other. And then from that point onwards, you make a conscious effort of being like, oh, like, let me talk to you. Let's talk about you now. You mm-hmm. know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So on that note, it's actually really simple what you just talked about. But what are some of the strategies that you learned from all that's happened? Because this is the perfect question for you now. What are some strategies to have those healthy conversations about balance
yeah.
between give and take? Because it's hard. It's hard to stop and be like, hey, can I talk to you about something? Because yeah. it's very serious and you can start to feel really nervous when someone talks to you about it, or you would feel nervous approaching someone about it in the first place, right? So what are some of the strategies you think we could use given that you've had quite a few of those conversations? I haven't had that many conversations.
That's great.
About this topic.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, look, well, yeah, just for context, I don't always have these conversations. Like, most of my friendships are really, like, A-okay. There's been, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4, like, situations where
that's,
I'm like,
that's still quite a few.
Well, yeah, I think just because I've had so many, I don't want to say so many friends over the years, but just because I've moved around a lot, I'm having to cultivate new friendships so constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. And you grow and you change as a person. But, yeah, look. Key strategy is making sure that you have like an understanding of each other's communication, like straight from the outset.
Mm.
Now this is harder, like once you're in like deep in a friendship and you're like, oh no, I don't know how to do this. But like for anyone listening who is like, you're starting a friendship, make like a conscious effort of honestly, like, and it might be awkward, but like make a conscious effort of sitting down and being like, okay, how would you like me to support you during these times? You know, what is like a love language that you give to your friends? How do you respond to text messages, to calls, all that kind of stuff? That kind of like weird strategical sort of meeting sounds really gross. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like when you get married and you do a prenup and it's like, we shouldn't have to do a prenup because we love each other. Well, no, like be prepared. And that's always good and I like that. But even if you don't do that and you're still in a friendship, you can learn. Obviously, you learn about your friends and you learn what they do and don't like just by observing them. But I think the key strategies is how do you feel when you think about hanging out with that person? And then being like, okay, like this is how I feel with that. And then if you're scared about talking to them, just, it's like, it is going to be hard. Try not to make it a really serious conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably like a huge thing, like is when you make it a really serious thing, people get scared to talk about it at any point, like especially afterwards. I feel like after the conversation, people can just be like really awkward because they're like, oh, I don't really know how to like proceed because that was really serious. And like, do we just go back to normal now? Try and make it like a really chill, casual thing. Mm. If like the thing that you're trying to bring up is not a big deal, like if it's a giving taking thing, try and make it casual and just be like, hey, like you seem really self-absorbed at the moment.
That's not very casual.
But you can just be like, hey, like, is everything okay? Just because, you know.
You seem different.
Yeah, you seem different, or like something seems off and I'm just like want to make sure that, you know, like our friendship continues to stay healthy and, you know, like we've got a good balance because I love you and I don't want to lose you and, you know, trying to do this to better the friendship kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's always good if you can just try and make it really relaxed and casual because that's what, you know, that's what people, that's what a friendship should feel like, because when you make it serious, people tense up and they don't know what they want to say. So that's always good. And just being like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Like, it doesn't have to be a massive thing. You can just be like, hey, like, I'm feeling a bit like sort of left out at the moment, you know, like, how can we work on that and that kind of thing. And if you've got like a good friendship, then that should work out. So yeah, just being like, casual communication at the start is always the best. If you're starting a friendship, then like sitting and doing those strategizing meetings.
I love how you said strategizing meetings.
They're helpful. They're helpful. It sounds crazy, but like,
no, I know about these things. Good. So I'm like, yeah. I'm glad somebody else knows about this stuff, because you know, I feel like a nerd talking
it's
about it.
It's good, because you never want to not it be is. Able to support and love your friend. That's so true. It's like, if I can know about this now, then when we get there, I'm going to be able to do that for you.
That's true.
And yeah, also just like, it's always good if the way you treat people the way you want to be treated. So it's like a good reflection. So you can always look at your friends and be like, okay, this is how they do this, or this is what they apologize for. This is what, which means that that's important to them. So try and communicate with them in that kind of way. You know, if you're ever having like problems.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like me and my friends, like one of my best friends, we send voice notes, and I know that she's got really bad anxiety. And so sometimes like she can get scared about what the topic of the voice note is going to be, because if it's really deep and intense, then maybe she doesn't have the energy to listen to it.
Right.
And so I will send like a disclaimer note about what that voice note is about, and just put like a little asterisk and be like, voice note related to stupid law professor. So when she sees it, she's like, oh, okay, I know what it's about. And she can listen to it, and then it's fine. And then it's fine. Like, and if it's something other than that, then I'll just be like, oh, you know, had bad day. Only listen to this if you feel up for it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's about learning about that other person.
Yeah. That's such a good one.
It's great.
I love that. Yeah. you have really healthy strategies for friendships. I really love that.
It's crucial. I think because my friends are like they're my family when I'm not with my family. So I'm like, I make a conscious effort of trying to make those work and be as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Because if I don't have them, then I have nothing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so true. I mean, I can relate with you because I'm the same. I moved countries.
Yeah, your family is way further away than mine.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, woo.
Yeah, it's a big.
When do we talk? Well, let's try tonight. Okay, let's try again tomorrow. Doesn't work. Okay, we'll talk in 2 weeks. My friends are so important to me as well. And I feel like, you know, like the strategy meetings that you mentioned. They don't have to be so serious, as in like you don't have to schedule them, because sometimes they would come up in conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And yeah. I always try to make friendship things casual. Yeah. Keep it nice and chill, guys.
Yeah. But it's important to talk about these topics.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like it's also a matter of noticing when you can talk about this as well. Because, you know, for some friends, they're not always in the mood to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So pick and choose your moment.
Oh, yeah. Pick and choose your... That's a massive part of just being a friend, is like knowing like when you need to hold back something.
Yeah.
And just kind of being able to read that other person. And that comes with time.
Yeah.
You know, just like I can look at my friend Laura and I know when she's stressed without even having to ask her, because she puts her thumb in her mouth.
Oh.
And so I'll just
good observation.
Yeah. And I'll just stare and she responds better to tough love. And so I'm just like, take your thumb out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? What's going on? Voice it to
tough
me.
Love.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's just like being
could hear the tough love. Wow. It's true.
It's true. It's the mum in me. So pick and choose your moments. And that's about knowing your friends. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're the friend who someone is voicing something to you, then just be like, hey, when I'm going through this, maybe it's best that we don't talk about this. Like, can we talk about this another time? Because I don't really have the energy for it today.
Yeah.
And if they love you, then they'll be like, okay, cool.
That's interesting, because I'm really bad at that. Sometimes I just let people go on because I don't know how to stop them.
Yeah. Sometimes,
I love them, so I don't stop them.
People pleasing thing sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. That's me. Yeah.
And you do need to be able to read like...
anxious attachment.
Yeah, literally. And sometimes like, you know, like if it's you know, like for my best friend Ava, like if she needs me at any point, I will push aside everything. Like if I've got something else going on and she needs me, I'm like, whatever, like she needs me. But that's because I know after
she would do the same
years. Yeah. After years and years and years and years of friendship, it's like, okay, I know she'd do the same.
Yeah.
And like, that's cool and that's fine.
Yeah.
But in other situations, sometimes you just don't have the energy for it. And that's fine because like that is a normal human being thing. And
yeah.
I think, you know, that's why I send the little disclaimer notes with the voice notes, because it's like, you got to be conscious of that. And I think that's also just like, because I've had a lot of friends with like mental health issues. And so you become conscious of what people can and can't handle.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, knowing about that person, and just, I feel like that's helped me majorly in like the communication area, is having like friends who have had very different and multifaceted mental health issues and having to learn how that works with them as a friend, and sort of how that follows their friendship.
Yeah.
Just being like, okay, this is how I need to communicate with her when she's in this headspace.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And they will appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, I think that's why I'm like very strategic when it comes to the communication thing. Because
which is very important. Yeah, you need that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you've recommended about 5 practices that are really good for friendships without realizing that you did.
Yeah.
Which one would you recommend as the best one for people who would like to cultivate healthier relationships or just healthy friendships in general?
Yeah. Definitely, like in saying this, this is helpful for like if you're trying to cultivate like a healthy romantic relationship and a friendship. I apply very similar sort of like patterns consistent to both.
Yeah,
yeah, because like I'm going to date my best friend. Like as in like a male best friend. I'm not going to date Ava. That's only if we get to 45 and neither of us are married. But these are very applicable to different situations. I don't want to say strategizing meeting because that sounds really weird. But having conversation about, you know, sitting down, and it might come up naturally and that's really great. But if you found that it's not coming up naturally, then sitting down and being like, I want to know about you and how friendships work for you and what they mean to you and how I can be a better friend.
Yeah.
And I think someone will always appreciate like when you say to them, I want to learn how to be a better friend. People always be like, oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Exactly.
Like, you know, they make such an effort. Like that makes me feel really loved and that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting down and, or just like, you know, whenever you want, try to do it face to face. Try not to have those kind of conversations over text. Yeah. Because things get misinterpreted. And that's also a big bit in the, you know, sphere of things is learning. Sorry. Water. Is learning how they communicate by text. I have friends who are quite blunt over text, but in real life, I know that's not how they sound, but when they text very bluntly. And so I know that, like, even though if I got that text from another person, I'd be like, ooh, that's weird. Like,
because
I'm like, if it's not already clear, I'm like a massive, like, hey, babe, like, !! like, love you, like, la la,
yeah,
like, emojis and like stuff. Whereas, like, you know, even like our co-host Gabs is really blunt over text.
She is.
She's like, no, full stop. Or she'd be like, yeah, I'll look at it on Monday, but not right now.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Okay. But Gabs is lovely.
She's so sweet.
And we love Gabs. She's the
sweetest
amazing
person.
Yeah, she's so
her texts
great
are terrible though.
Yeah.
In terms of how you would
really
interpret
blunt
them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Her texts are really blunt. But like, because we've known Gabs for a year, it's like, okay, we know that like she doesn't mean it like that.
Yeah.
So in your conversation, try and have a conversation about that person's love language.
Yeah.
If they know what it is, some people don't, but like what's important to them, you don't have to phrase it as like, what's your love language? But you can phrase it as like, what's an important aspect of friendship that's great for you? Everyone's going to say communication, but like some people love hugs. Some people don't love hugs. I have a girlfriend who hates hugs. She's like, oh, don't touch me, please. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm a physical touch person.
Yeah.
So ask them about that. And especially when they're going through a tough time, whether it's physical pain, mental health, or grieving, just being like, okay, if like, you know, you've had someone pass away or if you're going through a really tough time, what's my best way that like what's a good way to support you? Do you want tough love, soft love? Do you want gifts, food? Do you want me to bring you acts of service, that kind of stuff? And then asking how they communicate, like online, like how long does it take you to answer messages? You know, like kind of like, are you a blunt texter? Do you like using emojis, all that kind of stuff? And this sounds really weird, but sometimes that's good. And also the advice
always
thing. Yeah. And just being like, tell me when you're telling me something because you want advice, or when you're telling me something just because you need to rant. And my friends are always just in the habit of being like, this is just a rant. So you just like go on a rant. Or just be like, that. I need advice.
That's
on
healthy
something.
Though.
Yeah, it's yeah. really, it's really healthy.
Because sometimes when you get unsolicited advice, you're like,
yeah, and you're like, I was just trying to, I did like, not I was want just that. Trying to rant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like, I'm an advice person. Like, if you don't ask me, then I will just give you advice. Like, I'm just like an advice person, because I think this is a part of me being a mom, is just being like, okay, so here's what I think you should do. But I know like some of my friends, they don't receive that. And like some others do. Most of them are just like, help me. Or they'll tell me, and they'll just be like, I just want to rant. I don't care what you think. And I'm like, okay, I will keep all opinions to myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, just learning about that person, just asking them and just being like,
yeah,
what kind of, how have your friendships worked out in the past? What's like something that you think, you know, and especially if it comes to romantic relationships, I feel like this is where a lot of friendships start to kind of hit the grind, is, you know, like if you have an opinion about your best friend's boyfriend and you're like, oh, I don't like him, or I don't like what he said or something, or, you know, if they like some guy and you know something about that guy, all that kind of stuff. Those things I tend to also find quite important, because that's where people can really differ on their thoughts. Is like, I don't care what you think about, you know, my boyfriend or whatever. It's like, keep that to yourself. It's like, okay, I will. Whereas some people are like, I really want to know what you think.
Yeah. So, you know, that's funny, because I have the same exact thing happen to me.
Yeah.
And this friend, I mean, she didn't talk to us about her boyfriend much. And she didn't ask us for our opinion or anything.
Mm.
And then I think after a year or two, she broke up with him. And then when the relationship ended, everyone's like, finally. And then yeah. she was like, why didn't you tell me? And then we were like, well, because we wanted to protect the friendship, yeah. and we didn't know if you exactly. wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting, because it's kind of like what we could have done is to sit down. I mean, we were like so young, 19 or something.
But that was still funny.
What we could have done in that scenario was just sit down and be like, do you want to know what we think about your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Or our opinions don't matter and we should just keep them to ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we love you and we want the best for you. But
yeah.
might not be what you want to hear.
Totally helpful.
So yeah, I think having that kind of a conversation would be, and of course in person, no text.
Yeah, don't text.
Would be really helpful. Bad idea.
Yeah, totally. Like
a call if you're in long distance friendships. Yeah, you know, that'd be helpful.
Definitely. And yeah, exactly. Just try and make it chill. And most of these things you can bring up naturally. You don't have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
You can just sort of be like, hey, how do you want me to approach this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, right now, just this. You'll be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And you can just do that even if you don't want to have like a massive kind of, not like a massive, but even if you don't want it to be like a full conversation kind of thing, if you face a situation where you're like, I want to make sure that I do this right, just literally ask them in the moment, be like, how do you want me to handle this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And most people will tell you like, I just want you to hug me and just, you know, bring me food. And you'll be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what I can do.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Yeah. It's good. It's easy, but it's not that easy.
Well, yeah, either, it's easy, but it's also like
challenges,
it's hard. Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
You know, anything we say to be good would be challenging.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like attachment style, your natural disposition. Like we probably don't, you want to avoid conflicts.
Mm.
You want to please people. Lots of stuff can be at place.
Oh, yeah, but I'm like a massive people pleaser. It's just like such a problem.
Same here. But yeah,
it's terrible. But
yeah, but it's good to understand that there would be challenges. But the importance of this practice is way more important than how you feel about certain things and how you are. So you would be able to overcome it, because I feel like one of the best things that's happened, and this was with one of my best friends ever. She told me to work on my attachment style, so I'll be secure in relationships with everyone, so I would approach everything in a healthy way. Mm. And I just love that.
Mm.
So, totally. You know, like it's kind of like something we can couple with the other practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And like friendships, you learn so much from them and you grow so much from them. And because you're friends with all different kinds of people, and that's great. Like, don't just sit in a little echo chamber. Sometimes it is just like me and my best friend and we just say the exact same thing to each other and we're like, that makes us feel good. But like, have different kind of friends. It's cool. It's fun. You get to do all kinds of different stuff. Yeah. Like, it's really great.
Totally.
Love meeting people.
It's absolutely. Mm. Oh, I love that. I mean, we can go on about this all day.
We could.
You know, we can keep going, but I think we should wrap it up because we have already shared quite a few tips.
Mm.
And I'm keen to hear what the experts will have to say about friendships.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because we're non-experts and I think we're doing okay.
I think so.
And we can do better. You know, we know the insights. We can do better, I think.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so, totally.
We'll learn about it.
Yeah, we'll always a work in progress.
Yeah. Mm. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Pun intended. Oh. What's that show? Work in progress.
What's that show? What's that show?
Really good. Yeah. Okay, so before I let you go, we have open mic. What's something that's super important to you right now that you didn't get to talk about and you would like to share with us today?
I think cultivating friendships and, well, it doesn't have to be friendship, but understanding your relationship with your coworkers.
Mm.
I think that's really important. And I think because you spend, you know, like depending on what kind of job you have and all that kind of stuff, you spend at least like 80% of your week, you know, like with your colleagues. Maybe if you're not working remotely or all that kind of stuff, but like if you're in an office or you have, like when you're in a job, you have to communicate with people. And you're constantly having to mediate situations and work on things together. And, you know, it's you hear everyone talk about team building and team blah, 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 blah. But, like, because you spend so much time with them, it's really important for you to know about your team. And if there are people that you love on your team, then, like, you know, well, if you like on your team, then try to get to know them better. And, like, cultivating friendships in work I think is really great. And it's an important part, and I don't really think people go like, oh yeah, like at work, and you know, like I'm going to be friends with this person. Like, you don't really think about it when you're coming into it, but I think it's a really great part, and I love that aspect of work is being able to cultivate friendships with the people that I'm working with, and it really helps with your communication. And it really helps with being able to understand each other. And yeah, getting to know your coworkers, I think, is a really great part. And just making a conscious effort of getting to know them, because it's just going to make the whole system flow better. Like, you're lots of little cogs. And if you know about each other and each other's little quirks and you can get along well, then everything's going to flow like way better. And it's really great. So, like, participate in the weird team building activities, like do them and go and get coffee with that coworker that you don't really know that much.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting you to be like best friends with everybody. Like, no, like that's unrealistic. If you work at a big company, then like, no, that's not realistic. Like, you don't have to be besties with everyone. But some of the people that you meet at work, you're going to be around them for a really long time. So try and make an effort. I love my current coworkers. Well, as in the people in this job.
and it's your last day.
Yeah, I know. So. Oh, so sad.
But you
so
know what?
Sad.
You're going to gain friendships out of this. When we're no longer co-workers, we can officially call each other friend.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
that's what I told my ex-colleagues all the time. Like, I'm like, don't be sad.
Now we're just official friends.
Now we're officially
that's
friends.
That's our official title. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's such a great part, and it makes work so much more fun, and you can learn a lot from each other. And so I would highly recommend.
Totally agree.
Just like trying to do that.
You know, one of my best friends now is my ex-colleague.
Exactly.
I don't talk to people that she's my ex-colleague. She's my best friend.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. And it just makes work so much more fun.
I know.
Mm.
So meaningful.
It's okay.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All the best with your next chapter.
Yeah.
We're going to miss you around here.
I'm going to miss you guys too. It's been really great.
Don't worry. Your old episodes will be your legacy here at LMSL. May they live long and prosper.
I love it. It's so good.
You've been listening to Sarah Boost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by the Happiness Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes are available from 10 life management perspectives and can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and other podcasting apps available on your devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, share, and subscribe to our channel so that other people can find it and we can continue to provide quality content. More of our work can be found on our website at ha.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Lu Ngo. Thanks for tuning in.